going through there.
Well, I've already said that we're going to put the computer back in there.
Oh, yeah.
She's still going to have to do this stuff.
Well,
and they're supposed to get
anything major today, so.
Table to put in there.
Works.
Everybody, we'll call the Public Safety and Correction Committee meeting to order. And we'll ask everybody make sure their microphones are turned on. And Jeff, would you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, nation of God, indivisible, just for all.
There you go. Approval of minutes of the August 3rd meeting.
I'll move it.
Any additions or corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Tim.
Join the meeting.
All right, good morning. I have a couple items for you this morning. First is the approval of the State Homeland Security Grant Program. This will be in the amount of $80,076.
Join the meeting.
Packet notification of the breakdown of how that is. A good majority of this is going to cover ongoing costs of maintenance programs of things that we've purchased over the time. We've got some cybersecurity software, I believe, in there for, I believe that's for IT. And then also an MCI trailer to replace our aging trailer that's in service right
now. Do you want to go to a table here where there's a microphone?
Sure.
I'll make the motion.
Have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion?
How big is the trailer?
It's small. It's like 16 foot or something.
Why is it $19,000?
Because it's actually loaded with backboards and equipment that goes on there. So it's the trailer and the equipment.
We don't have equipment on the existing trailer. We just put in it.
We do have some, but we're looking at new backboards that are more lightweight. The ones that we have now are wooden, and the new ones are fiber. Plastic, so that they're a lot more lightweight and be easier for it to haul.
Not only that, it's easier for the attendants to carry the person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Eliminating that weight.
Yep.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, the next one is the FY20 LEMPG supplemental. This grant is supplemental funding through FEMA to the Emergency Management Office for COVID response, $21,641. Primarily, this is going to be used for offsetting salaries during COVID, but also we're looking at purchasing a refrigerator, commercial grade refrigerator freezer for storage of vaccines.
Join the meeting.
At the Civil Defense Center, and then also for some N95 or respirator testing kits.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, the next item is the approval of the multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan. So this is a plan we've been working on for several years with Barton and LaJudas. They're our contractor that has been working on this. We've been working with the local municipalities to complete this plan. So we're finally to the point of where FEMA has approved our plan along with the state. And so we're ready for adoption of that plan. It'll be a 5-year plan in place for the county.
It's quite a lengthy plan sitting out there. I was going to print it out, and then decided I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to print that one.
I got the purpose of it, and I decided that was enough.
Tim.
Yeah, it's huge.
Tim.
Yes.
It's me. Is there a public hearing on it? It'll be for, isn't there a public hearing?
Yes, we're going to have to require a public hearing for it as well. So at the next legislative meeting, we'll have a public hearing, and then we'll go ahead for adoption.
I noticed that there were a number of the towns in my district that didn't participate in that.
Yeah, because typically the funding is 75-25 matches. So if you're doing a large project, it's hard for those municipalities to come up with that 25% match for large projects. Okay. So that's what we found was very difficult for some of the smaller municipalities to participate.
Right. So what does adopting this plan commit us to do?
Basically, it commits us to the plan. That's it. It allows for FEMA funding for hazard mitigation projects. So if we have a disaster in the state and municipalities that have plans or projects as part of this plan want to do those projects, it allows us to do those. If we did not have an adopted plan, then we wouldn't be eligible for FEMA mitigation money.
So I'm assuming that the towns that didn't participate in that plan would be ineligible for any funding.
That's correct.
Okay.
Kelly?
That was the question I had.
And there's funding, Carol? State funding?
So you talk about projects.
FEMA.
Federal.
It's after the disaster hits that the project is designated?
Yes, typically. So there's two ways that mitigation works. So when the disaster happens, you get funding from FEMA. If there's a disaster declaration, you get funding from FEMA for that disaster, for any overtime or services or equipment that you use during that disaster. After that disaster, there's mitigation money that's available from the federal government to do projects, special projects. All right. And this would be that above and beyond money to be able to do those special projects. So if you decided that you wanted to change out the size of a culvert to avoid flooding on a roadway, mitigation money would pay for that to do that.
You have something, Tom?
Pardon?
Do you have a question? No. Anything else? Do I have a motion to accept this plan?
So are we just making a motion to accept the plan to move it on to the full legislature for the public hearing?
Yep. Yes, that's correct.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, the last item I have for you is DPS maintenance telecom maintenance agreement. This is going to be a five-year agreement, $4,120 annually for 5 years for a total of $20,600. This covers a maintenance agreement on our net monitor, which is some sophisticated hardware and software that monitors our whole computer network on the radio side. So it's looking at the fiber optic cable, it's looking at controlling of doors and generator runs and batteries and equipment and stuff like that. We've had this in place for several years. This is just a new maintenance contract for DPS Telecom.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second. Tom, you seconding it?
Second
it. Has the price gone up?
No, actually it's been pretty standard. They're a great company to work with. They're out of San Diego, California, and we've been working with them for many years, and they're very, very good to work with.
So if you've been working with them for many years, does that mean that this amount's already in the budget?
This is actually going to be funded out of Homeland Security. Yep, out of one of the Homeland Security grants.
So we don't put those in budgeted line items, that they come to you for approval?
Anything else?
So the county's just a pass-through.
We receive the money and pay it. Yep.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have a couple of questions. Where are we on the status of fixing the issues with the generator?
So the new generator is installed. The new UPS is installed. The only thing we're waiting on right now is a transfer switch. Which is going to be a change order to the project. We're waiting for pricing from Graybar on that, and then we're going to install a new transfer switch. And one of the other additions that the engineer recommended was to put an external generator connection on the building so that that will allow us to be able to bring an external generator in and do a shoreline connection if we have a problem with the generator and or the UPS in the future.
So what's the timing on getting the price on the switch and getting it and installing it?
I would anticipate that we'll probably have pricing this week because we had a project meeting 2 weeks ago, I believe, and they were working on getting the pricing round. So I anticipate either this week or next week having the pricing and then moving forward with the replacement. I believe their estimate on receiving the switch would have been sometime probably in November.
Didn't we start dealing with this in February and March?
Yeah, but COVID set us way back because we couldn't get the contractors in. We did get the contractors in eventually, but because of all of the activity that was going on at the 911 center with COVID, we weren't able to get the guys in there to get that UPS changed out as quickly as we wanted to. So COVID set us back on that. But we did do a temporary install of some backup equipment that covered us during that time frame while we were down during COVID. But, you know, the equipment was still waiting to be installed. So we're good now.
Where are we on the VHS radios?
So currently we were waiting for some equipment changeover at the Jasper Tower site. That work was done last week. They're coming back today to do some fine tuning of that tower site, and then we can begin our testing and then cut over. So I anticipate, I'd like to say within a month or so, we'll be able to start cut over.
My last question is, we approved, was it $54,000 for some fire services study in the county?
Yeah, the EMS study.
Where are we on that?
So they've been working on collecting the data. So they have all the data portion of that. They've sent me that draft version of all of the data. There was a lot of information that I felt was missing. So we had a project meeting last week with the consultants, and they're looking at doing some virtual town hall meetings with CORES. And sending out some surveys to ask different cores across the county their input into the study, and then I think we'll be in pretty good shape. There was just voluminous amount of data that they had to look at and compile and put together. I shared with Jack the information that they shared with me, and it's massive. I mean, how many pages was that report, Jack? Is like 40 pages or something like that. And that's just data. That's no input from CORES and other things that they had to meet as part of the study. So I actually went through the scope of work with them, highlighted the items that I didn't find in the first draft that they sent me. And they recognize the fact they got some work to do and they're going to finish that up.
When do we expect a complete report by?
They haven't given me a deadline at this point, but
end of year.
I would think we're probably looking close to end of year or beginning of 2021.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Anything else for Tim? Thanks, Tim.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Brooks then.
No. Yeah.
Brooks. No, are you with us?
I am here.
Who's that, Noel?
Yes. There's Brooks, I believe. Morning, guys.
Hey, we're ready for you.
All right. Well, our first matter is the reassignment of our verbatim grand jury transcript contract. Verbatim has been sold, and they're getting out of the grand jury business. So Caitlin Shaler, who is the court reporter who has done grand jury for us by Verbatim, is leaving them and is going to do grand jury for us and for a couple of other counties. The timing is perfect because we're going to do a lot more grand jury work here. We checked with, I think, four other providers in conjunction with Yates County, trying to find somebody else who might be able to give us a better deal than Verbatim right now, and we can't find it. So what we're asking to do is to reassign the verbatim contract with the same rates. That's what Caitlin has told us she would do for the term of the contract, and then we'll do a new RFP when the contract terminates.
Brooks, how long is the contract?
You know, I don't know how many more months it is. It was a one-year contract from whenever we signed it, so I don't think it goes much past the end of this year. I think it's a year-to-year contract.
That's fine. I just didn't know if it was a three-year contract or a one-year contract.
No, a lot of those have – you have to approve it every year, but they have renewals.
Okay.
And this one had a six-month clause, so I think we're December. Okay. I think it was June 1st, end of May.
Thank you, Jen.
Okay, and so
I'll move it. Very helpful making this happen. So,
I'll second.
Who made the motion? Tom? Scott? Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
All right. Well, next up for us is just an update on diversion, and we're asking to do some tweaks to the fee schedule to be a little bit more inclusive and deal with some of the things that we sort of hadn't thought of that have come up as issues. Noel's been quarterbacking this process for us and put a ton of work into it. So I'm going to turn it over to him to tell you where we are and what we're trying to do here.
Well, we turned the switch on July 28th with the diversion management company. And I'm really happy to report that within the last 6 weeks, we have collected $151,000 in fees and from diversion management so far. So the projections that it, conservatively, I would say, I think are going to be somewhere between $350,000 to $400,000 of fees collected by the end of the year. So we should be able to meet our expense line that was within that projected budget. So even though we got a late start, I think that we'll still be able to cover the expenses that were allocated for the fees collected. Does anyone?
So we budgeted $400,000, I think.
I think around. Go ahead.
No, I think it was $400,000. So we're going to be short. We cover the expenses, but we're going to be short as far as revenues sitting out there.
And we may be very close on revenues looking at our numbers.
We'll be close.
Go ahead.
The adjustment of the fee schedule, I'm not looking to change the 275 and up to 350. What I'm looking to do is I'm looking to lower some of the fee schedules for some of the lower end traffic violations. Some people that contact the courts are sometimes being, I don't want to say turned away from the diversion program, but are being told, well, if you go through the reduction program, your fine will probably be less than that it would cost you to apply for the diversion program. And that's kind of counterproductive. We kind of want to include as many of the V&T violations within the fee within an appropriate fee schedule, so that we get more people to use the service, which will decrease phone calls into our office and also the man hours or the work hours that the ADAs have to put towards handling traffic matters.
And so, if I can hear, what we're talking about here are things like equipment violations that aren't fixed within the time of a fix-it ticket, or some of the bad left-hand turn or lane violations, or 1110A traffic control device violations that are relatively minor and below, they fall in below speeding charges and carry less points and therefore less fines. It's not productive for folks to get into the program at the numbers we have right now. And so what we're trying to do is push the number down and make sense to put those into the program and save all the, you know, one of the big things here is time savings for the courts and for our office in processing these things. So that's why we want to push the fee structure down to be a little bit more inclusive with those lower end tickets, that there really is not much utility for people to get into the program right now with the fee structure. So
So give us where they are now and where you want to lower them to.
Well, the speeding violation starts at $275 and anywhere's up to $350, depending on the amount of miles per hour over the zone. Those are the vast majority of the tickets that we receive and are currently receiving. They probably comprise about 50 to 60-some% of the tickets that we receive. So what I'm asking for PS&C to approve is anywhere from $100 up to the $350, just to give us a broader range for those lesser offenses to be included and to bring those people to diversion instead of the reduction program.
Noel, this is Jeff. What Noel's trying to explain and Brooks is explaining is that the $93 surcharge and a lot of times a basic fine of $100 is, so I have to say I agree with Noel and Brooks, is that I'm hearing that from the magistrates that it's $193 for a lot of their tickets, the $93 mandatory surcharge and $100 fine. So the people are saying, why would I pay $275 for the driver diversion if I can pay $193? So those people were not getting anything out of in the diversion program. Is that what you're looking at, Noel?
Yes.
Yeah, we're looking at the non-speeding tickets really here.
But that doesn't eliminate any marks on their license if they go through the court, right?
You wouldn't have a mark for a...
Yeah, a lot of these tickets, Scott, you're right, a lot of these tickets we're talking about don't have a license mark. The equipment violations or the unlicensed operator, the expired inspection, those kinds of tickets is what we're really talking about here that cover that cost $193, but they don't have any points on a license. So then it's just a pure economic choice, and we're losing that battle here. We're also looking at some of the more minor tickets, the two-point moving violations, some of the seatbelt stuff, where it'd be good to send them through a course. But again, those don't cover the fines. They're not like a speed ticket where, you know, where we're priced about the same. So I'd like to be more inclusive. One, to have more people go to the class because that'll make our highways safer. And two, the more people we can put through the program, the less we get.
Scott?
I don't remember with this company that we contracted with to manage it, but what is the cost per participant that we are paying this company?
They get 10% per ticket of the fees collected, or a minimum of $20. So if we lower it, I mean, there is a minimum of $20, but we still will be collecting some sort of fee schedule and be able to, you know, spread that out to the municipalities as well as collect some portion of that fee for the county of Sven.
So what are we looking at lowering it to? $150 or lower than that?
No, I would say, I mean, it's going to be variable in regards to the offense that was issued. So I would just like to have a variable. I'm not asking to do anything with the speeding tickets, which I said previously, they comprise of about 60% of what we're taking in. I'm just looking for a broader range so that the district attorney's office can apply that towards the V&T violation schedule, so that the like a fix-it ticket that goes beyond 6 months and someone didn't take care of it. I'm looking at those sort of tickets to be like $100. So they don't even have to go to court. They just attend. They attend an online program or a driver safety program when COVID clears at the sheriff's office, and they pay $100 and it's taken care of. They don't have to go to court. There's not any time tied up in it. And we at the district attorney's office or for the county, we still collect a portion of that fee. The town collects a portion of the fee, and we also pay for the service.
But what we're looking to do is just drop the floor to $100 for non-speeding tickets. And then it can go up to $250, but just drop the floor.
I'll second it.
I mean, it makes sense. I guess my only other question, Brooks or Noel, is do we know that other counties that have this, like Broome, do they have lower fees for lower offenses?
Well, Broome has it's a Chinese food menu. You can, you know, you pick one from column A, one from column B, and get a number at the bottom. Absolutely. Other programs, I don't know what they're doing. Orleans is the one that's closest to ours because they're using the same service that we are, and I believe they have some grades within their fees. I mean, we have even within our existing structure, we have different levels of cost based upon the nature of the violation or number of violations. So it's not really different than what we were already doing. We're just lowering the floor some for more minor violations to be more inclusive.
So should we just have a fee schedule based on each of those violations? Wouldn't that be appropriate?
I think that's what they're going to do, but they needed us to lower the floor.
Okay. But isn't this going to be lowered? The lowest is $100, and they're going to set the fees for the rest of this.
Based
is that
going
to be at their discretion?
That's correct. That's all we're asking to do is lower the floor. Right now, it's already sort of discretionary because it's set on number of tickets and rate of speed, and that's a matter of policy within my office. Is, you know, there are some that don't get in. There are some that qualify for higher if they're a higher speed and a larger threat or have a worse history. And there's some that get lower numbers based upon lower speed and that kind of thing. So what we're asking to do is simply create a more room for discretion to lower some numbers that fit with what a ticket would cost somebody to plead to encourage them to get into the program, to take the class, and make our highways safer.
So, Kelly?
Don't the 1110A tickets, most of that fine stay in the village? Or the local municipality. So if we lower those fines or the fee on the driver diversion program, are we looking at costing the local justice courts money?
Yes and no. The reality is there are very few 1110A tickets written. That's a reduction that we often offer, but that's usually on a speeding ticket. So right now we are replacing the 1110A's offers we used to make with the driver diversion program, and the amount of money that we cycle back to the towns and villages is more than they make on 1110A ticket from the state. So I don't think we're going to cost them very much money. And the reality is we recognize that what we're doing with is speed reduction. So if someone's got an 1110A, and usually the officer will put on there, you know, 1110A, and then little parentheses someplace, they'll let us know that they were doing, you know, 71 and a 65 or 52 and a 50, and we'll price the ticket accordingly. If it's an actual 1110A ticket, they drove right of a fog line or something like that, then it would get different treatment, and does now. I mean, somebody comes in with a real 1110A and asks for a reduction outside the program, for what it would be a 2-point very minor violation, they're going to get a reduction outside that section anyway. So I think overall revenues for local courts will go up with this, and we're not going to be costing them any money.
Thank you.
So the motion will be to lower the floor to $100.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I guess my only other comment is, if we do this and allow a person who, as Jeff explained, would probably be paying $193 if it went through the local court to pay $100, that's an advantage for the person. But if it was because that person had a blinker light that was out, does running them through a diversion course really solve anything? I mean, yes, you could say it educates more drivers, but is that really what we wanted to do with this diversion course?
Well,
because he had a blinker light that wasn't working?
Well, it might not just be blinkers. It could be a number of other things that fall into this, those 1110A violations and other things. And the reality is, I mean, one of the reasons that we started this program is because you guys make me take that silly driver course every 2 years. And despite my best efforts not to, I learn something every single time. So my thought is that the more folks we send through that program, the safer our highways are going to be. That was the overriding reason to do traffic diversion. Obviously, economics are very positive, but we want to make our highways safer. And, you know, an out blinker light does have a consequence. I mean, accidents happen because people don't have blinker lights on, or because they have one headlight, or some of those things. And so sending somebody through the program isn't going to make our highways less safe. And so that's why my thought would be that if someone is willing to instead of to pay $100 and go through a program and get educated, it's more valuable to the county than somebody who just pays $193 and doesn't think about how they drive.
And I think the key to those tickets, Mr. Van Etten, is you wouldn't go through diversion because they gave you a fix-it ticket. So you have 10 days to fix it. And if you don't fix it, then you're not, you know, then it's not just that ticket. It's that you're not taking your responsibility of getting it fixed. Okay. So
that makes more sense. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And that's
so,
what we're
so people like Tom that drive around with their left-hand blinker on all the while.
Either one of them. They're just entertaining and get to hear the things we all say. So,
okay, do I have a motion?
Yes.
Do, yeah, you do. Do I have a second? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
All right, so number three, and Noel, you're going to have to work through with because you've been doing a lot of this as well. This is the Violence Against Women grant. We are accepting money. It's part of the CAC program grant that we accepted a couple of years ago, and or I guess last year. And this is for the two advocates that we've had working so far to create a salary line for them and pay them. I believe we're contracting through Pathways to pay for this already. One of those positions is currently vacant. It's 100% funded by the grant, and they sort of require us to spend the money for the grant. I will tell you, so far, I think our projections for the CAC for the first 6 months, our goal was to do, I think, 10 or 12 CAC interviews. I think we're close to 50 already. It's been an incredible boon, and we're already getting requests to work with Yates County and Livingston County, and it is doing great things far beyond what we expected it to do. So, Noel, if you can explain the finance piece a little bit better, but that's where we are.
Yeah, this is just to catch up. It's pre-COVID. It was going to be put on the agenda before COVID hit, and just to be put into the budget line. It's funding. It's there. We're just trying to. I'm just trying to catch it up and get it approved so that I can add it to the line and accept the funding.
But we are not asking for any new funding. Grant. What? I'm sorry.
So this is just accepting the grant. That's all we're doing here. So,
yes, and our portion of the grant. Yes, our portion of the grant.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Ladies, appreciate it.
I have a question. Where are we on the CapCord electronic appearance plan we talked about last?
Sure. Right now, where we are is the magistrates have expressed willingness to do it. Senator O'Mara has introduced legislation and was trying to find, and I think he's got Assemblyman Pomisano on board to do it in the assembly to modify the state legislation to allow this program, which sunsets, the existing program sunsetted last month. It still exists under the executive order. So the legislative piece, they're going forward with in Albany, trying to make it permanent. We have had our first couple of roundtable discussions about how to deal with it. I have reached out to, as part of our duties here, reached out to Pam Ianey, we have a training contract with to provide, and she's putting together a training program for local court judges that we have to have approved by OCA before we can go forward. We are moving forward step by step, and that's right now. That's she said take about 2.5 weeks or so. So I'm hoping to hear from her this week that we have a program ready to roll out and get approved by folks in Rochester, and then we can begin the next step.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Anything else for Brooks? Okay, thanks, Brooks.
Thank you. Have a good day,
Sheriff Allard. Are you on?
He's muted.
Sheriff?
How about now?
Okay, we got you. Go ahead.
I am here. All righty. We have two canine donations to accept, one from the town of Wheeler for $100 and one from a private citizen, James Putnam, for $200.
I'll make the motion to accept.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, next item is the 2021 Law Enforcement Terrorism Grant. I believe it's, we brought it up in finance. Jack had the number. It's 42,000 and change, I believe.
Correct.
I'll make the motion to accept.
And what's this going to be used for?
I'll let the undersheriff answer you because he did the grant.
A number of items, different items, some for the CERT team, the SWAT team, a total workstation for accident reconstruction, and some other communication items, some of it for the canine, the nitrate detection dog, some training materials.
Good.
This is the other half of the one that I just did this morning.
Okay.
So it's part of that FY20 Homeland Security Grant Program. Good. This is the law enforcement side of that.
So do I have a motion to accept this grant?
So moved. Second it.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Anything else, Sheriff?
Yes, actually, I believe the bid is in for the Stop DWI. I can't remember what we called it, but it's the, for the prom events, trailer. The bid is in, I believe it just came in, and it's in the neighborhood of 9,000. And, I think Andy is on, he can elaborate further, but, we'd like permission to accept that bid.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion.
Is that just for the trailer that's not customized yet?
Correct, just the trailer.
And that's a 24 footer probably?
Yes. Yeah, 24 foot long, 8 foot, 2 inches wide.
Which makes me again wonder why we would spend $18,000 on a 16 foot trailer. But we do.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay.
All right. Anything else? Hillary reached out. She wanted me to do an update on COPE and where we're at with that. And which is actually, Carol has reached out on that too. We were making great progress with our treatment in the jail program. We were actually driving down in 2019. We had actually driven the number of overdoses countywide down. Since bail reform, they've almost doubled. As of July 1, we had 75 overdoses in Steuben County, four of which were fatal. We just had another fatal one last week. And the inability to treat first-time offenders in the jail has drastically hindered our ability to fight the overdose epidemic, coupled with during COVID, the fact that the courts were shut down means we haven't had people in our community impact panel. And also that what we're seeing on the other side of the bail reform is multiple arrests for serious felonies. Arrest and release, arrest and release, arrest and release. So we're seeing folks that are now going to be adjudicated on the course of 4 and 5B felonies who would have been adjudicated on 1B felony previous to bail reform. And I believe what we're going to see is an increased number of folks incarcerated both locally and at the state level, rather than a decrease when the adjudication is done. So between the inability to meet and adjudicate issues during COVID and the inability to get treatment for first-time offenders in the jail, our numbers are again staggering.
Will these issues be part of this new reform program that we're getting involved with?
So I would like to say that it would, but most diversion programs that exist are post-conviction, and very, very few are pre-conviction. And the ones that were pre-conviction is the treatment program we had in the jail, and that's been taken away by bail reform. So I would like to say that, yes, it would help, but I'm not very optimistic that it will.
So what's our plan? Existing programs deal with some of these things. Obviously, drug court is our primary weapon here, and we are still filling those up in our two city courts and at the county level, and we're just starting to get those back up and running. We've really lost some wind in our sails because of an inability to test folks for drugs during COVID. So,
and I wanted to do a quick update on the executive order 203. We have met with all five stakeholder groups. We have had 9 listening groups with smaller identified minority represented groups. This week we have 3 3-hour listening sessions with the general public. We have close to 1,000 survey responses so far, and we'll continue to roll those in until the 20th. Our program is currently being copied in at least 5 other counties. They've reached out for the data that we're doing and using. And I got your email, Scott, last week. We've sent out the survey to all town board supervisors and highway superintendents. So it's progressing well. It's progressing well. And I got to tell you that for me, the listening sessions have been good to hear what some of the minority communities have to say. It's a different viewpoint for me. And it's been a very respectful process where we haven't necessarily agreed on everything, but we have listened and debated it in a civil way, not with yelling and screaming. So it's been very useful for me personally, just for my own personal growth also.
I also talked to Don Berlew last week at Corning, and they put it up on the Corning intranet page for all of the Corning Valley employees to see when they log into the system. So hopefully that'll get more responses. And then she and I spoke with Jamie Johnson, and Jamie said he could also offer to push the same survey link out to Alstom and a number of other larger employers that he deals with, but he needed our permission or official request from the county to do that. And so we told him, you know, go ahead and do that. The more responses we get, the better off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can email. Is Jamie in the county email system?
No, I did send him. I sent him the link though last week when he asked for it. And he was going to, I think on Friday afternoon, he was sending out, you know, kind of a release to all of the employers that the IDA deals with, along with the link, asking them to put it up on their sites.
Fantastic. Thank you. I think the more input we get, the better we are. The initial input from the stakeholder group was very encouraging. 90% believe that our policing in Steuben County is fundamentally honest. 90% believe that we're trying to help people. And we had the sheriff's office particularly had an 80% approval rating. We're also surveying all incoming CAP arrestees in the centralized arraignment, asking them if they felt they were treated fairly, if they felt the amount of force used was appropriate, and if they felt any bias used against them. And we've been collecting that, and we'll continue to collect that till the 20th also.
So for the legislators, I think we should appreciate what Sheriff Allard and his team is doing on this project. I do know another chairman of a different county that borders us, that their sheriff, who's been in office for 30 years, has no interest in doing anything on this project. And that gives the chairman nightmares because they don't want to not meet the requirement by April 1st. So I appreciate what you guys are doing. And also I told Don, I appreciate the help that Corning offered as well.
Happy that.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing without the support of Corning Inc. I tallied it up last week. I've got over 100 hours in this program, and I'm betting that the representative from Corning is three times that. So
yep.
It's significant. But again, I think that, especially right now, this is necessary. And moving forward, we need this transparency. The biggest issue that's come back to me for what we do is we need to communicate more and better with the public, which I thought we were doing a pretty good job with, but as we meet with these groups, I realize that we do a really good job with a certain segment of the population, and we're not necessarily getting the word out to all segments of the population. So we'll continue to move forward with that also.
Okay, James, thank you.
Yep, that's all I have, sir.
Yes. Tina, are you on?
Yes, sir, I am. Good morning. First Good morning. Item for us is a renewal of our licensing service and support fee for our emergency medical dispatch program. The first one is for the actual card sets that dispatchers use, as well as the AQUA program, which is the quality assurance program that's used at the 911 center. We asked them if they could bundle these, and they can, which is about a savings of $200 a year. They promised to price lock for the 5 years at $813 billed annually.
Okay, this was approved at finance already, so
I'll move it.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
And the second item is also with the emergency medical dispatch. The online college is what provides all the continuing education credits. And it's also how the dispatchers take their renewal exams for their certification. It works out to about $90 an employee a year, brings it to a total for $2,670 for this year and next year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Anything Thank else, you. Tina?
No, Thank sir. You. Thank you very much.
We have something from personnel?
No.
Something from Jack?
Just want to note, 911 Director Hopkins, I let you folks know, but submitted his letter of resignation. Just want to thank him for all of his years of service.
Right. Anything else?
Yeah. Has been any progress made on the confiscation of the large animals in
as far as bidding out?
Well, any progress at anything as far as doing something different with them?
You have anything, Aaron?
I don't. I know that we were discussing RFPs for farmers, and I'm not sure what's going on with that individual case on if we're still running up costs on
them. So was that being handled through AIP committee? Wasn't the bid process going through them? So I think you really have to find out from AIP where they're at that.
We'll do.
Okay. Anything else? Up for adjournment?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Hey, Fred and Scott. I grab you for me.